All right, hey, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and get those out, and we are going to be in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. You say it really fancy. Everybody say Proverbs. The little R roll in there. It makes me feel more fancy. Proverbs. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs. Or it makes you sound like a cat. I don't know. Proverbs. That's how a cat would say it. I don't know. Marissa, is that how a cat would say it? Okay. She says yes. The cat expert says yes. So we're ready to go. So if you have it on your iPhone or on your iPad or whatever, go ahead and get there. If you have an actual Bible, Proverbs is like in the very middle. So if you just hold your Bible like this and you put your finger in the middle and you open it, most likely you'll be in Proverbs. It's crazy. That's how it works, though. So speaking of 90s television, so since we played a game about Bob Ross, who was on a show called PBS, a station called PBS, and he would get on and he would paint weird things every day, and he was kind of a weird guy. But I don't know why. Every day I would come home from school, Bob Ross would be on, and then following Bob Ross was this other show called Reading Rainbow. All right? How many of you know what Reading Rainbow is? Yes! Oh my goodness, this makes my day so much better, you guys. So, let's see. Pa-pow! Reading Rainbow! Yes! So, for any of you who don't know what Reading Rainbow is, this is Reading Rainbow. I listened to the theme song yesterday, because I was like, oh, maybe we'll listen to the theme song. And it is weird. Like, it's super weird. We're not going to listen to it, because it would just be awkward, all right? But, I know, I'm sorry, I got your hopes up. But, here's the thing. I'm getting booed. Oh, man. All right, maybe, hey, next week. How about next week we listen to the Reading Rainbow song? This isn't a negotiation, that's what's happening. I'm sorry. All right, So Reading Rainbow was a show where they would go through books, and really it was to try to get kids into reading, like all these different types of books, to be like, yeah, reading's cool. And so we would watch it. That was like my favorite day in school, was whenever the teacher would just like roll up with the little, we had a TV on the stand, and they'd walk into the room and like push it in, and like the VCR in, and they'd be like, all right, kids. Today I'm not feeling so well, so instead of teaching, I'm just gonna have you guys watch this Reading Rainbow video. And we'd be like, yeah! We'd all lose our minds and go nuts. We'd be like, yes! We're so excited! So we'd watch Reading Rainbow, and the whole thing with Reading Rainbow was that the guy who hosted the show, he would end up reading the first part of a story, and then he would stop like midway through, just enough to where you were like really hooked and you were really interested in the story. There were like all these illustrations and they like animated a bunch of stuff. And it was really awesome and you're just like, wow, this book is really, really cool. And then they'd like stop the episode and he'd be like, this book is great, but don't take my word for it. Like, does anybody remember that? But don't take my word for it. And I hated that because I was like, no, can you just read me the rest of the story while we're sitting here? I have 6 more hours of school and nothing else is going to happen. Just keep the episode going. Teach me the rest of the book. And so that phrase, but don't take my word for it, I just remember hearing that over and over and over again. And the hope was that you would then, wherever you were at, you would go find that book that was on the show and you would check it out from the library or you would buy it or whatever. And then you'd go home and you'd read it for yourself. And you'd see what it had to say. And I feel like that's something that really should relate to us as Christians, because I feel like so many times we have these expectations that somebody else is going to just like hand us like, hey, I'm going to read this for you, or I'm going to help you out in your walk with Christ. And so there's a lot of times where I believe that we grow up kind of just assuming that, oh, well, the only place that I learn about the Bible or I learn about Scripture or I learn about who God is at church. Like, how many of you have at one point in your life maybe thought that, or you've kind of fallen into that belief a little bit? Don't be ashamed, because I've done that too. I've been like, oh, yeah, where do I learn about the Bible? Where do I learn about God? I just go to church, and that's where that happens. And so typically that was what I thought. And I think that as I began to get older, I learned that this kind of expectation of, I'm just going to show up on Sunday morning, and some guy's going to get up who looks really weird, and he's going to have a microphone in his hand, and he's going to teach me things about the Bible. Like, that was the only place that I could go, I felt like, for, like, understanding or to learn something new, or how does this apply to my life? And as I began to grow, I began to learn that shouldn't be the case. And so this series that we're doing is called See for Yourself. So for the next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at, man, why is it important for us as believers to know how to read Scripture, to know what it says, and then to know how to even interact with it and apply those things to our lives. And so we're going to look at how should we read our Bibles? What does it look like to pray? What are some other spiritual disciplines? Like, what does that mean? We say the word discipline. Like, am I in trouble? The answer is no. What is that? What does that mean? What does that look like? And so I just love the fact that we as Christians are called to dig into God's word and to just really begin to interpret and figure things out just by reading Scripture, and the Holy Spirit works in and through us to help us interpret Scripture, which is just crazy to me. But so what I really want to do here, I want us to jump in before we start in Proverbs 3 to get a little background. And man, why is it important for us to know Scripture, for us to read? And I think that Scripture actually calls us to knowing and understanding the Bible. Like it says, it tells us to dig in and read. So over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. This is what is commonly known as the Shema. It's like a really big Hebrew word. But this is something that all of Israel basically formatted their lives around. And actually, I'll back up in verse 3. It says, "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you." So then here we go, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." And so what this passage is trying to get at is saying, man, Scripture should be really, really important to us. Scripture should be one of the first things that we do every single morning. Man, we should run to this. We should know that Scripture gives us, it just gives us good instruction and helps us to know the character of God more and more. I think that's a question. Is that a question that some of you guys have? Like, what is God like? I feel like that's a good question. I think some of us think about that. I'm like, well, the only way that we can know what God is like is by reading about him and seeing him in action here in Scripture. So that's in Deuteronomy. Also, over in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And so it actually says somebody who reads Scripture consistently is like, he's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Like, that sounds kind of important, right? Like, have you guys ever had any of your moms, like, buy plants and stuff and then plant them in the garden? Maybe your dads do that too. But I just know in my house, my mom would always go buy flowers or plants or whatever. And then like a week later, they were always dead. Like, they never made it past like week two. It wasn't a good thing. It was funny. My mom actually would always ask my dad, like, why don't you get me flowers? Like, why don't we, you know, maybe work on the garden outside, or why don't we plant stuff? And my dad was always like, because you'd kill it. Like, and my mom never really liked that, but my dad was being very honest because it was very true. We did once. We went to a greenhouse. I remember it was this whole big trip. We went and we got these plants or whatever, and then we spent all day like out in the hot sun. I was like helping my mom plant these flowers and these bushes and stuff out in the front yard. And as like an 8-year-old, I'm just like, Mom, what are we doing? This is stupid. And so we were out there. We planted it, went through the whole thing, and then a week later, like, they were all dead. It was just gone. And so then we had to go back out the next one and to dig it all up and then throw them away. So it didn't work out very well. But it's saying that people who dig into Scripture, people who constantly have Scripture in their lives, who are constantly looking at it, who are using it in order to gain wisdom and insight and understanding, they are growing. They are like a tree planted by streams of water. Like, they have a source. These trees, these plants, they have a source of life, this water that they need that gives life to them. And so in the same way, us as people, us as believers, Scripture is kind of a source of life for us, a source of our Christianity, of our ability to believe and grow in Christ. And so Scripture is important for us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching and correcting and rebuking. And like all, it says all of these things. Like, Scripture is important. Not only is it important, but it's God-breathed. Like, this is, it puts a very, very high importance on God's Word. Because there's a lot of times in our life where we're like, man, I wonder what I should do in this situation. I wonder what I should do in this situation. And not in every situation, there isn't going to be like, oh, God, should I buy the pink shirt or the yellow shirt? And be like, oh, let's turn to 2 Hesitations 5:17. And it says, Adam Crawford, in the year 2017, you should buy the yellow shirt. Perfect. Yes. Now I know what to do. Like, that's not what this does. But it offers us guidelines and guardrails and a thing that we should be aiming for, which is maturity, and it's Jesus. Like, that's what we're aiming for, that we would constantly look more and more like Jesus and that we would be like him. And so Deuteronomy, Psalms, all these other verses kind of point to this idea that we should surround ourselves with God's Word. And so another word that in Proverbs, so now we're jumping to Proverbs 3, that Proverbs 3 talks a ton about, and really the whole book of Proverbs, is wisdom. How many of you guys say, let's, like in a very British accent while scratching your chin, be like, ooh, wisdom. That was like Russian. Wisdom. 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 Now I'm talking like I'm not from around here. I don't know. I'm really bad at accents sometimes. Nobody did it. So just scratch your chin and say wisdom. Wisdom. Like, 5 of you did that. So proud. So proud of you guys. So God's wisdom is seen throughout Scripture, and it's really important for us to just continue to look at it. There he is again. Hi. Da-da-da-da. All right. Proverbs 3. All right, so let me read this to you guys. So here we go, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. So right here at the very beginning, these first four verses, Solomon, who is writing this, is saying, man, wisdom is important. Do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. And I think this is a reminder for us as we dig into Scripture and look at his Word, like, to remember his commands, to remember the things that he teaches us. Let this be something that infiltrates our lives daily. For length of days and years of life and peace that will add to you. So it's saying, man, if you do this, your life is going to look a little different from other people around you. And the fact that, I love this, bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. So this is kind of a callback to Deuteronomy, where it talks about writing them on your doorpost and write them, keep his word in your heart. Like literally, that's kind of a weird thing to think about, to be like, well, how do I put this in here? Like, how do I just, like, do I put it on my shirt and just, like, keep it here all day? Or just leave it here? Like, could you imagine walking around school and just being like, I'm keeping God's word on my heart. Here we go. People are like, what's wrong with your chest? I don't know. Some type of growth. It's the Bible. And so Scripture tells us, yeah, put it, bind it around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. It's saying, make this something permanent that you continue to seek after and try to find instruction in, and to make sure that you're living your life in accordance with. And that's a big word too. And that you're living your life in the way that Scripture would have you. And so it's telling us that this is important. And if we do that, so you'll find favor and good success in the sight of both God and man. And so it continues. Verse 5. This is one that a lot of you guys know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And so I think this is a passage. It's funny, even me saying this, like, it's hard not to say in like a rhymy, like rhythmic type of way, because I feel like this is like a song that you learn in like little kids' church. Like, you're in kids' ministry, you're just like, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Blah, blah, blah. Anybody? No? No?
Yes.
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 And is it weird? It's kind of weird.
No?
No. Okay, I don't know. I felt like me singing it, I was a little creeped out even. And I was the one singing it. So this is something that we're called to remember, and it should be something that we live our lives by saying, okay, yes, I should not lean on my own wisdom or my own understanding. He's consistently pointing this person that he's telling this to back to Scripture, back to the law, back to God's word to say, you should live your life this way, by this. Because typically, right now, we live in a culture, we live in a space where whatever you feel is right. Would you guys agree with me on that? Like that, what the thing that you know, how you know that it's right or correct is that if you feel like it's right, then it's right. And that is not right. So it's not correct. And we've even gone to the point to where it's no longer just do what feels right. It's then if somebody opposes what you feel is right, then they're wrong. But it's like, but what if they feel that that's right? And so there's no truth, everybody deciding what is right in their own eyes is very bad. And we talked about that last week, actually. In Scripture, it continues to point out the fact that in humanity, it's like people did what was right in their own eyes, and there was death and destruction and a lot of issues and a lot of problems. And so Scripture is saying, that's not something that we should be doing. We need to be looking at Scripture. We need to be looking and seeking God's wisdom in Scripture every single day. And so, even in verse 8, it says, man, if you're doing this, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And then verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. I know that all of you have barns that you're filling with things. So just so you know, if you're reading the Bible, your barns are going to be, you know, super full of plenty. It makes me think of the candy Good and Plenty. Does anybody still eat that? It's kind of a weird, I don't know. Do you still eat that? My mom always ate Good and Plenty. And I was always like, give me chocolate. I don't want that. I want this Good and Plenty stuff. It's not even good. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. And your vats, that's also a fun word, your vats will be bursting with wine. I feel like you hear the word vat and I think of like toxic chemicals. But it's not true. So here in Scripture says your vats will be bursting with wine. But verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. And so Scripture continues to call us here in Proverbs. He's trying to give wisdom and he's saying, man, if you listen to this, if you follow my instruction, like, things will probably be pretty good for you. And it's not to say that there isn't any trouble or that nothing bad will ever happen to you, because it's not true. Jesus actually promised us as his followers. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. But what Proverbs is trying to get at is that, man, if you're listening to godly wisdom from Scripture, if you're constantly in prayer, seeking the Lord's will, if you're trying to follow after him, and you're continuing to do that and trying to grow and mature in your faith, then most likely your decisions that you make, whether they lead you into hard times or not, there's going to be a peace about the decisions that you make. There's going to be a peace in really tough times. There's going to be a way through moments where you're like, I don't know what to do right now. And so Scripture calls us to seek wisdom and to seek godly wisdom, not just worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom. And so I think really that verse that we hit in verse 5, I know that we hit it a lot, or that you guys have maybe heard it before, but to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Like, I find myself in situations all the time where I try to think think my way out of things, or to say, I don't really know what to do here. And I try and come up with a good answer or a good response rather than seeking and saying, all right, God, what would you have me do here? I'm guilty of that. And so here's the thing. The reason that we're called to continue to look at Scripture, to continue to read and to plant ourselves in the Word every day is because there's this expectation of growth or maturity as believers, right? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. We talked about the fact that our goal as believers is to look more and more like Jesus, right? The last 3 weeks talked about the fact that it's Jesus who rescues us. It's Him who saves us because He was perfect. And before that, we even talked about the fact that we need to look more and more like Him. And the way that we do that is by continuing to see what He's like, to see who God is, to see Christ's character all throughout Scripture, and then to say, man, am I living that way? Because there should be a difference. So I think about it this way. I've been home alone with Leland. So Leland is my son, and he's 9 months old, and he's adorable. So, but Brittany left Thursday morning, and so I've been rolling solo. I'm like solo dad this week, and I've been exhausted, but it's been a lot of fun. And so I've been like getting all his food ready, and so he's eating like actual real food now, like what we eat. I'm not like giving him slices of pizza or anything, but you know, you got to cut it up, make it all small. But I think of the way that he's kind of progressed very quickly over 9 months from just drinking milk, like as his only source of food. That was the thing that sustained him. It was milk. Like that was it. Like he drank that and he was good to go. And there's like this expectation as life goes on. Hey guys on the stairs, I need you guys to swing in and not make noise. Thank you. All right. So there's like this expectation as life goes on and as Leland is growing that he's going to continue kind of make these advancements in what he's doing and how he's eating and the things that he's consuming. And so he went from milk to like we had like the nasty like blended up baby food. How many of you guys have ever tried baby food? Like, not as a baby. Like, you've been like, oh, I wonder what this tastes like. And you've eaten it. It's disgusting. Yeah. Most of it is disgusting. All right? Because it's like, it's like fake mac and cheese. It's like, oh, we're going to feed him macaroni and cheese tonight. But it's like squash and like all these other like weird vegetables blended up. And then just like, it's just orange. So it's like, look, it's like macaroni and cheese. It's like, this is just weird vegetable soup. This isn't macaroni and cheese. And so we went from this to like to baby food to then like some really squishy food, and then now he's progressed to the point where like if I'm eating something, I can like cut it up into a really small piece and give it to him. He can eat most things. And then as he continues to get older, I'm going to expect him not only for me to have to cut his food up and hand it to him, but as you get older, it's like, okay, now maybe I can kind of, I can just give him a whole piece of something. He can cut it up himself. And there's this expectation of growth. Like how many of you would think that it would be normal for like a 15-year-old, so somebody like a year or so older than you, to only be eating baby food? Is that normal? Like, no, the answer is no. Stop it. The answer is no. And so there's this expectation of growth and this expectation of maturity and kind of moving from one stage into the next. And so Paul in Scripture actually talks about this in a couple places, but in Hebrews chapter 5, he says in verse 12, he says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." And so, I'm sorry, yeah, this isn't Paul. I don't know why I got confused here. This is Hebrews. Paul did not write this. Anyways, so this continual call for us to be mature in our faith, for us to continue to grow in what we know about who God is and what we know about our relationship with Him and the way that we should make decisions and respond and do all of these things. Like, there's an expectation of growth. So that's why in kids ministry, like, as a little kid, we used, like, this weird felt board and, like, told stories, like, with pictures. And it was like, look, here's a vase, and it's made out of felt. And here's it goes up on this board, and here's Jesus. Like, and it was just all these, like, little kid stories. You're like, Like, even the way that we read kids' stories, we bought a little baby Bible for Leland. And so in it, it's like summarizes stories and they rhyme and it's like really cute and adorable. I'm just like, wow, yeah, this is awesome. But like, if you saw like a 30-year-old guy like open it, it's like, it's got like a little fuzzy lamb on the cover and like there's only like 7 stories in it. And it's like, you're sitting in, like, just imagine a guy with a beard, super hipster, and he's like sitting in Starbucks, like drinking his flat white. And he's sitting back there and like he pulls out of his leather messenger bag, pulls out like this fuzzy like lamb Bible. It's like, I'm just digging into the Word of God this morning, you know, just reading about Noah, just reading about, and it all rhymes. It's great. I read the whole Bible yesterday. It's like, 'cause there's 7 stories in here and they all rhyme and they're like 10 words long. All right. So Angel, you're killing me this morning. I'm dying. Oh my goodness. So I just imagine somebody who's like reading this and it's like, no, you should be reading the actual Bible. You're 30 years old. You're sitting in Starbucks. You can buy your own things. You should be able to read this and interpret and understand what it's saying to you. All right. And so there's this expectation that as we grow, we're able to figure things out for ourselves. Like for us to be able to read and to dig in. And the only way that happens is by us consistently digging into scripture for ourselves. Because if you don't do that, all of a sudden, you're going to be 18, 19, leave for college, be out on your own, and you're going to have no idea how to read the Bible for yourself or to help yourself dig into the Word and find that source of life in scripture so that you can be encouraged daily or you can grow and continue to look more like Jesus. You're going to get out of the house on your own and be like, well, the only way that I know how to mature as a believer is by showing up on a Sunday morning at church, which isn't a bad thing. It's great that we meet and great that we have teaching and people who are over us. But like every other day of the week, if you're just like, I don't know what to do, man, I think your walk with Christ is going to be, it's going to be tough because we're not going to be in scripture every single day. And so our hope is that you guys, even now, as middle schoolers, would continue and begin to start to read on your own. That you would desire to know what's in Scripture for yourself, right? Because you guys, how many of you have friends who aren't Christians? Everybody's hand should be in the air. How many of you are able to explain to them, I mean, who is Jesus? I don't need hands, but to say, okay, who's Jesus? Or what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Why is sin bad? Like, what is that? Why do we need to be rescued? Like, what? I mean, I feel like I'm doing fine. What do I need to be rescued from? Everything's fine. And so for us to be able to answer those questions and to say, okay, well, actually, Scripture says this, and I know that the Bible over a period of a couple books says this, 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 and this. And for you guys to be able to answer those questions by yourself and to be able to have confidence in knowing what you believe and why you believe it. And not only that, but just the fact that every day, like, you guys, I'll tell you, whenever if I get on a couple days where I've just, like, I just haven't made time to be in God's Word, like, I feel different. Like, I can tell that I have less patience. Or I'm quicker to respond, and maybe I don't respond in the kindest or most gentle way. Like, maybe I respond harshly, or I don't. Like, I just notice there's a difference in myself. And it's kind of in the same way that, how many of you have ever heard the word hangry before?
Oh, yeah.
Hangry,
yeah.
Right? Like, after you don't have food for a while, like, you start to get a little restless. Like, and there are some people that you can tell, it's like, all right, I know that things are kind of weird right now, but you don't have to get that mad. And it's like, I haven't eaten in 12 hours. You're like, whoa, calm down. Okay, I'll get you a Snickers or like a granola bar or something and everything's gonna be fine, right? And so people who get hangry, it's like because you haven't had food, your emotions or whatever, you feel a little off. And I think in the same way, Scripture is this sustaining thing for us. It is important for us as believers to dig into God's Word, to know what He says, to be encouraged, to be transformed and changed by God's Word so that we interact with other people around us differently. And then even in the midst of that we continue to grow and look more like Jesus. And so our call is to dig in and to let Scripture be something that changes us. And so for the next couple weeks, here's what we're going to do. I really want to encourage you guys in very specific ways on how we can mature as believers, how we can keep growing as believers, how we can look more like Jesus, and some different things that we can do on a daily basis or a weekly basis or whenever that will be helpful to us. And so I want us to take a look at a couple of those things over the next few weeks. Sound good? Yeah. If you're with me, say, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. All right, so just to summarize, if you didn't hear anything else this morning, digging into God's word as a believer is so important for us and for you to continue to grow in your faith and to continue to know who God is, how he's made you, and to know why you're here. And so for you to dig in and to continue to read, man, Scripture calls us into that, because whenever we miss out on what God's word is telling us, or we haven't trained ourselves in how to read this, then as you guys get older, the questions will become more real and even personally, like for you to know this and for this to be something, for God's word, for his commands and the things he tells us, for that to be something that we have as a foundation in our lives, it's going to help you tremendously in the way that we make decisions, in the way that you live your life. So seek wisdom. Seek godly wisdom. And we're going to talk about that more in the next couple weeks. So I'm going to pray for us, and then Marissa's going to come, and we're going to worship together. So we're going to sing, and we're going to respond, because God's good, and because he gives us his word, so that way we can read and hear from him on a daily basis. That's another thing. A lot of people say, I wish that God would just speak to me. And it's like, well, we have all of this. This is God's actual word. God breathed Scripture. Like, this is from him to us, so that we can be more like him, so that we can be saved, rescued, and changed. And we can look forward to what's to come too. So let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you have so graciously given us the gift of Scripture. I'm thankful for the way that it's just so accessible, that we can have it in front of us as a book, or that we can have it on our phones or wherever, any piece of tech. Like, it's so available. And I'm just so thankful for that. And so God, as we just continue and begin to jump into this series and look at ways that we can become more like you and allow your word to just be on our hearts always, would you encourage us to do that at home on our own, and not just wait for Sunday morning to dig into Scripture? God, would you begin to even call us all here to just be with you daily, in the morning, in the evening, whenever? Would you call us to yourself, and would you give us a hunger to know your word so that we can know you more? So we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.